2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of life, of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he as not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that this passage would just be alive and precious to each and one here, and that you'd bring out these truths in a brand new, encouraging way of our opportunities that are in front of us in our life. Help me as I speak, help our ears to be ready and wanting to receive in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Look at verse 1, thou therefore my son. Paul's writing, of course, to his Timothy, his preacher boy. And here we could say to us tonight, God's talking to the people that want to serve him. And you know, Wednesday night, you bring a message like this. People that come on Wednesday night, it doesn't make us any better than anybody else in the church. But people got a little more snap and determination to serve the Lord. I mean, you're more committed. People that come once a month, you know, Sunday morning, they're just not quite as much into it. This passage is sort of being spoken to somebody that's wanting to serve the Lord. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In this passage, we're going to talk about enduring and staying focused and not getting entangled with the world and all the rest. But here he tells us the key to it right off the bat is found in the grace that God gives. And that starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Then that relationship grows and we learn to draw on heavenly strength, or I have the grace to serve the Lord. I am sustained by God's grace that comes my direction. Turn with me, please. Keep your finger here because this is our text. But turn over to Hebrews, please, if you will, and look at chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 in verse 16. Often we look at verse 12 in Hebrews 4. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. But look at verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. There it is again. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy and help is found at the throne of grace. I don't have the strength to serve the Lord. I don't have the wisdom to serve the Lord. I don't have the sustaining ability to serve the Lord. It comes by God's grace. And Christians, we cannot be successful. And here we're going to lead towards getting the gospel out and taking the good news to the next generation and taking a stand in your generation. All those things are true in this passage. We don't have the strength to do that without God's grace. We live in grace. We're saved by grace. Often we'll say, I'm saved by faith, I'm kept by faith. Yes, but we live and we're saved by grace as well as faith. And we live in grace. And without God's grace, we can't do it. People are hard sometimes to witness to. Situations seem overwhelming. We seem like we live in quicksand. Every time we move, it gets worse. We need God's grace to be able to be sustained. Turn with me, please, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse 7. here Paul going through difficulty and is known as his thorn in the flesh. Unless, 2 Corinthians 12:7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of who? Yeah. Does Satan try to mess with us? Yeah. You know, when you're first saved, it's sort of hard to believe. You know, Satan, is he really Satan? Are you seeing a communist behind every tree or something like that? Are you seeing a devil behind every bush? Well, Satan likes to buffet us. And so he says here, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Why was God allowing Satan to buffet Paul? To keep him humble. Because Paul, you need to remember, you've seen all these revelations and you've had all this amazing opportunity and you know a lot, but you're still nothing without the grace of God. And when we forget that, we're not going to be a very good servant. Go on in that passage. It says this, verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice or three times, that it might depart from me. I didn't want Satan's thorn. And he, God, said unto me, my grace is what? Sufficient. So whatever situation you find yourself in, the work and the will of God, the grace that you need is always enough. We often talk in the same sort of a realm in 1 Corinthians. We talk about there hath no temptation taken you but such as is come, but God is faithful, not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Sort of a twin verse here, isn't it? God doesn't put us where we can't stand and find a way, and God doesn't allow us to go in without offering a hand of grace. And so we need to learn to live in that grace and abide in that grace. And that's with our daily devotions and keeping our eye upward and all the different things that we all know. But we need to remind ourselves when we're up against the tough times in our life, we need to go to Christ for grace. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You can't do it by yourself. Go back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 2 again. Thou, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, that grace isn't found in Pastor Butts. That grace is not found in church attendance. That grace is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm not just talking about being saved tonight. I'm talking about a vital relationship where he gives you the grace and the will and the desire and the overcoming ability to serve him. You can't do it outside his grace. And if you do, you're going to get smushed like a little bug. Look on verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm not going to park on this part tonight. I want to get further in the text. But we know that one of our responsibilities is to be bringing up another generation. Sunday school is very important. Family altar is very important. Our Christian school and all that it does is very important. But you know, just as equal to that is that we should be looking for a Timothy in our life. Or can we make that feminine, Timothea? We should be looking for somebody that we could be giving things to the next generation. Do you know what the biggest thing is against a lot of older churches? Is like, we're the young people. Where's the next generation? Listen, we need to be looking for a Timothy. And Timothy needs to be looking for a Timothy. Can I ask you just from this passage of Scripture, who are you working at committing to things for the next generation? Have you gotten a vision for that? Who's your replacement for the next generation? If not, these seats are going to be empty in a few years. And this church is not going to have much effect. And the people that have been here and saved and living, hanging on to their fingernails, eventually one day it's just going to close down or be used for something else. Listen, we need to be committing things to the next generation. And that's not just Pastor Butts or let's vote in a program. That's me committing it to somebody else. In your lifetime, can you think of somebody that you have diligently been helping them to come along? He said, well, Pastor, I would like to. Then ask God to bring somebody to you. Seek them. Look for them. Somebody that you could show. He said, I feel unworthy to do it. Just show them what you know. Show them what you learn. Show them how to have devotions. Sit with them in church. Answer their questions. Tell them Pastor Butz's telephone number. Help them to find that next generation. Let's move on, though. Verse 3. Thou therefore, talking about we have this grace and we've got a job to teach another generation. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And here we find a command the Lord gives us. We are to endure the hard things that come along like a soldier does. Can you picture a soldier? Somebody comes up and says, boo! And he runs away. Or something happens and he trips and he skins his knee and he said, I quit, I skinned my knee. He said, well, he's a soldier, he can skin his knee. Or, you know, something hard happens, you figure it out. And he just quits. I tell you, that's not the way a soldier works. A soldier goes right up against the enemy with the idea that he might even die. And he goes, and he just sticks right in there, gets in the trenches, and you know, war stories are amazing. I've never been in these things. I'm thankful I haven't had to. But spiritually, we're in the trenches. And we need to get in there and not. You know, it's so sad how over the years, hundreds and thousands of stories could be told of people that quit because their feelings got hurt. Can you imagine? I left the army because the sergeant was mean to me. I was out there and I cleaned my gun and he didn't say thank you. Does that happen in church? Yeah. Nobody noticed. And I was working so hard, I killed 2 people. Yeah. This is the image that we have here. That we are to endure the hard things because the purpose. People, we sort of become prima donna Christians. We want to go and hop around from church to church to church to see if we can't find the softest seats and the best sound system and the best music and the best this and that, instead of just going where God puts us, wherever that is. Just finding God's will and getting in there and working on that next generation and getting God's grace and, man, going at it like a soldier would. There's a job to be done. The devil needs to be engaged. And this is our job. Once again, I can't do it without God's grace. And I can't do it without purpose. I mean, this battle's worth fighting for the next generation. So he goes on. So we are to endure hardness like a good soldier. And then it gives us in verse 4 a very simple thought. No man that warreth then entangleth himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. 2 or 3 things from there. A good soldier is not worried about everything that's going on in this world. He's worried about the job he's got to get done. He leaves home and he goes and lives in that barracks or whatever, and he gets trained, and then he leaves there, and he gets sent out on different assignments around the world or wherever he is, and he signs up, and his life is on sort of a holding pattern because there's a great purpose to be served in defending the honor of his country. And we as Christians need to be willing to go out of the way and be willing to go and be used and be put in the trenches and be inconvenienced and not be so entangled with the affairs of this life. I don't want to tread on us. I don't want this to become something where I'm really not trying to beat on it tonight. But how many Christians are so entangled every Sunday they're not even in church? How can you be a Sunday school teacher when you're so entangled with the world that you've made a million commitments? You need to remember the greatest purpose in your life is the service of the King. And that's what he says here, that we may please him who hath called you to be a soldier. That's a privilege. Now, taking this back to the idea of Timothy being a preacher and a pastor and all those different things, I say it's a great privilege for me to be able to be a pastor, and I've been able to bring my life and just focus it in all these years of being a pastor, the Christian school, all that. It is a great, what a wonderful privilege that God would take me. But are you any less than a pastor or Timothy? That you keep yourself focused on the bigger job, and that the things, the affairs of this world become more important than the affairs of him that called you. Where are your priorities in life? One of the things that I'm finding in this generation, we are living in a very prosperous time in America. I was listening to a guy on the radio the other day. He said this. He said, we're going to look back. People are always bellyaching, but they don't have enough. But we're going to look back on the early part of 2000 as a time in America where our pockets were full. And it's always interesting when Christian pockets are full, they forget who put it there. And we get so busy wanting to use that money to jet here and find this and buy this, and we forget that there's a cause. And I'm not trying to raise money for a building or bigger missions, but I tell you what, where is our priorities in our life? It's something for us to evaluate. It's amazing how people will drive a $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000 vehicle and give God $1,000 in a year and think they've been generous. Christians, we need to get our priorities like a soldier would, not entangled. And if you learn a lot of things, people that really have purposes, they're totally in. They'll strip themselves of everything to get the purpose down. I really respect the Vietnamese that came into America out of the Vietnam. They're sort of a different group than ever in recent history coming into America. Congress did something unusual with the Vietnamese. They told them that everything that you make in the first 10 years, if you qualify in this immigration thing, everything that you make is non-taxable. I like that deal. And we want to get your feet in the ground. Instead of giving you money, we're just going to let you keep your money. I sound like I'm running for office, don't I? Okay. And so, you know, a lot of the Vietnamese that I learned, they would have three or four people living in the back of their business. And after 10 years was up, man, they were ready. My point is, for those 10 years, they lived like the poorest mice you could ever live. Because they looked on the other side to see where it was going to get them. And you look at the Vietnamese in our society, they've done quite well. They really have. I'm not trying to diss anybody else. I'm just saying that's a good example for us as Christians. This world is not our home. And we need to look on past as good soldiers to our real purpose, the kingdom of God. And that's where our investment needs to be. Years ago, when I was standing in our old property, we were having neighborhood Bible time, and a young college guy in our church at the time came along, and we started talking. It was in between. All the classes were inside. He was helping do some counseling, but we sort of had some dead space. And he said, Pastor Butts, we got talking about stock market and some different things. I do not pretend to know a lot about all, but I try to keep up. I can understand and talk. And this person said, wow, Pastor, you know stuff like that? I said, yeah, I'm not just stupid, you know. I could. And we talked a little more, and he said, well, where do you have your stock? Where's all your investment? Well, first of all, I don't have any money. But second of all, I said, you're standing in my investment. He said, what is it? He looked around. He said, what do you mean? I said, you're standing in my investment. He goes, oh, I get it. Westside Baptist Church. I think that was a pretty good investment. You know, Christians, where is your investment of life leading you? You could take everything that you have and it could be wiped out so quickly. Not just stock market. Life can twist and turn. But I'm talking about keeping our internal purpose. Be careful about entangling yourself in the affairs of this world. This world is transitory. Have your affairs towards that which really matters to him that called you. Look at verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive, that word lawfully. That's sort of me the controlling word in this verse. Here's somebody that wants to, okay, my purpose is going to do right. The end justifies the mean. I'm going to cheat and I'm going to claw. No, you can't. You got to do it God's way. And I say in Christianity, one of the things we have to be careful is the worldly methods that we would use to try to do God's work. We do it God's way. We do it lawfully. We do it the way that God would do it if he were the one that by faith doing it. We can't cut corners to serve God. Right needs to be right and wrong needs to be wrong. And the end justifies the means is like going down here to a bank. We're getting ready. Oh, we're going to build a new building. So I'll go rob a bank and get $2 million and put it in the offering. God can't use that kind of thinking. We need to strive lawfully. One of the things that we talk about, why is Westside Baptist Church put the label on it that we're a fundamentalist church? It simply means this, that what the Bible says, it means. And we're not going to shrink from that. And we're going to try to hold our own self to that standard. That doesn't get me to heaven because I'm a fundamentalist. We know that. But as a Christian, my mode of operation is I'm going to strive lawfully. I'm going to follow the book. This is going to be my manual for living. And to go outside of that would be wrong. Christians, I wonder if you make the evaluation in your own life. Are you trying to serve the Lord? And even here tonight, yet there's some stuff in your life. It dirties your hands and it disqualifies your heart and your mind. And yet you would want to serve the Lord. You want to go and have prayer tonight, but God says, I can't hear it because of the garbage that's in your heart and mind. You can't strive for the mastery unless you do it lawfully. So that means we need to keep our affairs in order. Because the devil's always looking. Do you remember how he wanted to accuse Job? And do you remember he looked and looked and he couldn't find anything. And you know the first thing he picked on was Job's children. And then he picked on his all the stuff that he had. And then he stirred up his wife. I mean, the devil was trying to find anything he could. And shame on us when we hand him the evidence. Because we haven't been striving the lawful life. So we find, look at verse 7, please. Verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must first be partaker of the fruits. Tell us two things in here. First of all, a husband has to labor. You don't get fruit without laboring. We can't be pew sitters, pew warmers. I come and I go, like a car parks in the same place and always comes and goes and it's always there. That doesn't get it. What are you laboring in? And labor gives the idea. In this particular word, I looked up the word labor here, and it means labor to weariness that you want to lay down and rest and sleep. A good husbandman or farmer works. I grew up on a farm. My goodness, they work hard. Then the verse says, then comes fruit. And I tell you what, there's nothing like it. When you've worked hard and the fruit comes in, it makes it worth it. Counting the money. Yeah. Seeing the things prosper, it's good. In our Christian life, when we labor, there are blessings to be had. This, when we see people saved, when we see God's work, missions, and all kinds of things advancing, we say, by God's grace, I was laboring in that vineyard, and look at the increase. praise God, that's when my family goes to church. Partake in that fruit. But it takes labor. I know as I work with the kids in the Christian school, one of the things as they go from sixth grade to ninth grade is getting them to be self-motivated for their homework. Teachers, could you say an amen? Okay. At a point where they realize that when they work hard, there's a blessing. And it's neat when they sometimes catch on, you know, earlier than later, and they start to go up and they get into it and they start getting awards and they get A's and the report cards got all A's and all kinds of stuff and the smile and the fruit and the blessings and the amens. But that didn't come without hundreds of hours of commitment. The students could say amen to that. It doesn't come without a lot of work. And in our spiritual life, we aren't going to see fruit without labor. Perspiration. Studying our Bible. Getting out and knocking on doors. Carrying the tracts. Inviting to the cantata. This auditorium will not be filled up next Sunday night without a lot of labor on our knees. Inviting. And we could multiply that same thing toward any effort that we think we ought to have. But once again, the purpose and the grace of God are the controlling things at the beginning of this chapter. I can't do it without His grace. And the purpose is worth it. Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. Verse 7 says this, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. So could I challenge us tonight, if we were to take what that says as a sort of a conclusion of this little part of the passage, take this shoe and see where it fits in your life. The words there where it says, consider what I say, is the word is this, cogitate. It's actually take your brain and wrap it around it and make application. Cogitate on it. Go home tonight and say, you know what Pastor said? I need to be like a soldier. I need to keep my eyes. I need to be in the grace of God, and I can't cut corners and not do it lawfully. And it's a lot of work, but it's wonderful when the labor produces fruit. Consider what I say. Then he goes on and says this, verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. This is learning the resurrection power of God. With God, there's nothing that's impossible. And then he says in verse 9, wherein this gospel that I believe in so much, I suffer trouble. I'm willing to labor and go through tough times and misunderstandings and people call me by name and beating me and stoning me and throwing me in prison. He said, I labor, suffering trouble as an evildoer, even under bonds. But the word of God is never bound. And our job is to get the message of the gospel and the word of God out. And we've got a job to do in our generation. And while you're here in Houston, you've got a job to do right here in Katy area. The next verse is my last verse. Look at it, please. Therefore, we find another word that we repeat. Therefore, I endure all things. Paul says, for this reason, knowing the power of the resurrection and that there's going to be fruit and God's grace and the purpose, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may obtain also the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. What is he saying here? He said, every time a soul gets saved, I say it was worth every bit of the effort. What's ministry about? Buildings, chairs, money in the bank, glory to our name, my name on some sort of an etching, we all say resoundingly, no! It's about people being saved and brought into the kingdom. And it doesn't happen without what we see in this passage of Scripture. Therefore, I endure all things, that these people will know the Jesus that I know. And that's the fruit that we desire, Christians. Are you laboring in the harvest field? Are you bringing souls to Christ? In 2019, can you think of where your energies have been? Has it been all in this world? Has it been lawfully? Has it been sweat and toil for the Lord? Has it been purpose? Have you become discouraged? You needed the grace of God? It's all right here. May God help us. I therefore endure as a good soldier, that these people can come to know the same resurrected Jesus that I know. May God encourage us. This is a heartbeat. Do you realize 2 Timothy is the last book in the New Testament to be written? And this is Paul, by Paul before he died. And this is Paul saying the last thing that he would say to the church: don't quit. Draw the grace of God. Keep your eyes on the goal. Labor. Do it lawfully. Please Him. And I do all this that they can obtain the same thing that I've obtained, the grace of salvation. Heavenly Father,